You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
Good morning. You're listening to Out of the Blue on 3CR Community Radio. This is Lauren and Mimi, and today we're joining you from beautiful Wurundjeri country, and we pay our respects to the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional custodians of this land, sky and waters. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
So the sounds you heard just now was today's guest, Therese, and a growling grass frog. Therese joins us from Darebin Creek Management Committee to tell us more about frogs like the growling grass frog and all the ways volunteers can help monitor frog populations and care for the creek. We learnt from Therese that frogs are important environmental indicators. They're one of the first species to feel the impacts of habitat loss and changes in climate. So frog population levels can help us understand water quality and other forms of ecosystem health. This is Therese. We're really excited to be chatting to you today about monitoring frog populations along Darebin Creek. I hear that you really love and specialise in frogs. I'd love to hear more about the work you do and what you do with the Darebin Creek Management Committee.
Sure thing. My name is Therese and I'm from the Darebin Creek Management Committee. I've been there for 25 years, which is a long time. And I'm not sure that I specialise in frogs, but I do love frogs. And when I bought my house in Reservoir 20 years ago, the first thing I did was dug into the earth and a frog popped out. So I was like, I'm onto the right thing here. So, Darebin Creek Management Committee is a not-for-profit organisation. So we are registered and you can make donations to us because it's tax deductible. So not-for-profit, we've been around for about 50 years and we work in the Darebin Creek catchment, and that goes from Woolert through to Alphington. So it takes in suburbs of like Epping, Laylaw, Preston, Reservoir, trying to think of all the suburbs, Bundoora and more. But yeah, they're the main sort of suburbs that we cover. So basically the organisation is structured like a catchment, because we know all the water in the catchment area flows into the creek, and all the issues that go on in the whole catchment affects the creek. So it's not just one thing. So it's a sort of the approach is, I'm trying to think of the right word here, but it's a holistic approach to catchment management, and it aligns fairly well with First Nations approaches to management of land as well. So the work that we do, it's hands-on work. We also do, our sole purpose actually is caring for the creek, so caring for country, and to restore the creek with the community. So that's the main sort of thrust of the work that we do. We want to always include community. Community and volunteers are really at the heart of what we do.
Yeah, beautiful. And can I ask, you mentioned living in Reservoir. Have you yourself been spending a long time at Darebin Creek? Like, what's your kind of connection to the water and the environment there?
Well, I live on a creek, but I live on a different creek from the Darebin Creek. I live on Edgar's Creek. The way I see it is animals and plants, they don't see boundaries like that, and we're all part of the northern waterways. And I guess I'm from the country originally, so when I moved to Melbourne, I did seek out things that were like home or like in the country, and the waterways that run through the northern suburbs, there's the Darebin, Merri, Edgars, Findon, they're all, and the Plenty, shouldn't forget that one, they all are part of the Yarra River catchment. So I guess that, again, that holistic approach to the environment is something I was really interested in. And as I said, 25 years later, I'm still here. So it must be something. Reservoir was kind of by accident, but I love it here. And we do have growling grass frogs in Reservoir. So we'll talk a bit more about growling grass frogs later.
Yeah, I was just curious because I think when I first moved to Melbourne, I was living in Preston and remember during lockdown kind of walking around near these really kind of urbanized areas around like Northland and so on, and then kind of stumbling across that part of Darebin Creek. Yeah, it's just such a contrast, I think, being in these really, really urban areas and then suddenly finding these like clearings of trees and having the water flowing. And yeah, it was quite exciting for
And
me.
that's really interesting too, because in the COVID lockdown period is when people started to really value, some people hadn't discovered their creeks before, and we did get a lot of volunteers from that era of time. So, you know, as the negative parts, there were also positive parts. People connected with nature.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think you mentioned you're looking for volunteers at the moment to support with monitoring frog populations. Can you tell us a little bit more about the frogs living around the creek? Would love to hear more about the growling grass frog or what other kinds of frogs can we expect to see around there?
Okay, that's a big one. Okay, so yeah, frog monitoring is actually well underway. excuse me, I'm starting to sound like a frog. The ground grass frogs have been calling for about a month now, and they will continue to call throughout the summer period. Now, the reasons frogs call is to find a mate, which might seem totally obvious, but what a lot of people don't know is that only the males call. And the females will find the male call that they like. And I'm actually lucky at the moment, I've got the Pobblebonk frogs in my backyard, and they're actually last night they spawned. So I'm going to have baby frogs in my backyard too, which is cool.
Very exciting.
It is exciting. So the frogs you're likely to see in the Darebin Creek catchment are Ewing's tree frog, which is a nice little frog. The Pobblebonk, the one I just mentioned that has been bonking in the backyard, and they bonk, that they make the bonk bonk sound. You can hear them around now. Quite a large frog, and they bury themselves in the ground, hence digging them up sometimes in your garden. You don't really dig up a lot of other frogs. There's also Perrin's tree frog, which I recently learnt are actually from the north of the Dividing Range, but they have made their home in Melbourne. And this is something that's really interesting, is that because of climate change and lots of different things that humans are doing, we've got populations of eastern dwarf tree frogs, which are a tiny little green frog. They've come down in banana boxes and tropical plants. So they have now made Melbourne their home, and you can hear them around Melbourne as well. What have I missed out on? So Perrins, Pobblebonk, Eastern Dwarf. There's a couple of marsh frogs. You might hear like a spotted marsh frog, which sounds a bit like a tok, and a striped marsh frog that sounds like a click, or vice versa. I always mix those two up. And then there's the growling grass frog, which is an amazing frog. Big bright green frog. It's an endangered species. They used to be found throughout the catchment. Now we've only got very small populations of them, say in the southern part of the catchment, but we do have better populations in Woolert and Mernda area. We do have them luckily in Reservoir and Bundoora as well, but we don't know how stable those populations are. And that's part of getting the volunteers out, is to monitor year by year to see where they are. So we've got about 40 sites in the catchment that we monitor, and we've got about 35 volunteers doing those 40 sites. over the next couple of months. So we're actually pretty good for this year, but we can always take more volunteers. The more the merrier, the more data we have, the better it is. And that data then goes to Melbourne Water for their frog census. And if you've never heard of frog census before, basically it's just to count all the frogs in the Melbourne area. And we don't go out and body count them, we actually listen to the calls. So the best way to monitor frogs in the urban area, or any area really, is to monitor the calls. So you do a recording, 2 to 5 minutes, and then that's sent off in the app to Melbourne Water, and then they will process that, and that data, it becomes part of the data set for Melbourne. So we've been doing that with the community for about 5 years now, but we have data going back a lot further than that. Obviously, we're not just collecting it for fun, and it is fun, but that data is useful for planning, seeing where frogs are, why they're not in other areas. They were there last year, they're not there anymore. What's changed in the habitat and what's changed in the environment and what's going on. So, yeah, it's very interesting work.
Yeah, I had no idea about the frog census, so I'm really glad you brought that up. Is that kind of one of the kind of main things that volunteers have been doing in terms of monitoring through those recordings, and sending that data off, or what other kind of work do the volunteers do?
Oh, so we do have we have lots of volunteering opportunities, but the frog for the frog census, oh, sorry, for the frog monitoring, that's the main thing the froggy people do is do that. But there are other opportunities which we can talk about for volunteering with the Darebin Creek.
Yeah, cool. And that video that you showed me of kind of speaking to the frogs and hearing their call back, is that something that you've been doing for a long time and that lots of the volunteers do in terms of knowing how to kind of make these calls
Yes,
and chat
sorry,
to the
yes, I
frogs?
see what you're getting at. Yes. So yeah, the little recording which you might be able to share is of me trying to get a growling grass frog that I know is there in that wetland to start calling, because if we don't have the recording, we can't prove that it's there. So if you can just make a little growl like the growling grass frog, or a bonk like the pobble bonk, they will respond to you, because the reason they're doing that is not because they're having a conversation with you. It's because they see you as another frog, and so they're sort of saying, "Well, I'm here as well." So they're kind of competing for the same female frogs. So in a way, you become competition. We don't, with the volunteers in their training, we do say, like, go out and do your recording, but if you can't hear any frogs calling, we do say it's fine to use a callback. You can either try and make the noise of the frog, or you can use the app, the Frog Census app by Melbourne Water. And it's got all the frogs there, so you can just play the recording if you're not feeling confident. I often think, oh gosh, if someone walks up and sees me, making weird frog noises and wondering what's going on. You can feel a bit silly, but if you play it off the recording, then it feels a little bit more scientific. But they will respond to you if you can make a sound similar to them. And in fact, I had an instance when I was making the pobble bonk noise in my backyard, because I thought I'll get it going again so I can make a recording. And I obviously was a bit too loud or something, and so it growled at me, which is a territorial sound, which basically says back off. So sometimes, it can go wrong. And look, we don't want to stress out the frogs. They are, wild animals. So the playback is just to get the frogs calling. So we talk about that in the training. We do the training once a year. And so yeah, look, people can join up any time of year, but the monitoring occurs generally from October to December.
Awesome. And I would think that was pretty cool if I walked past and I saw someone being able to make some of those calls.
Yeah, it can be, you can feel quite eccentric doing that, but yeah,
I'm sure.
it's fine. It's fine and it's normal. I tell the volunteers.
It's quite a skill. I'd love to hear about some of the other opportunities volunteers have to get involved in all of the work you do.
Yeah, sure. So as I said before, like it's actually a big catchment, and we're really trying to engage people in the top of the catchment as well as the bottom. We sort of find that around the Darabin Parklands, where our HQ is, we do have a lot of volunteers, and there's always been a community group around the Darabin Parklands, the Friends of Darabin Parklands, and then there's the Friends of Darabin Creek. So there's opportunities with both those organisations. They have structured events each year. But within Darabin Creek Management Committee ourselves, I'm just thinking back to what we are doing at the moment. So within the parklands, there's a group called the Thursday Crew, and they meet every Thursday, believe it or not, and they do planting and weeding in different areas of the creek or the parklands where it needs some attention, some TLC, because we do have staff that can do this work, but when we have a team of the community and we've got all those helping hands, as we say, we can get a lot more done. And it's also it's a sense of ownership and stewardship. So I think that's the reason why that Thursday crew has been so successful. So there's at least 20 people turn up each week, and they're not always the same people, but Kim looks after that program, and she's made them little, they've got their own little name tags when they turn up. And then they also have a plant propagation group on the Tuesday as well. So if you're interested in propagating Indigenous plants to the Darabin Creek, that's a really good opportunity to learn. We offer training as well. And what else? There's also seasonal monitoring. So the frogs, as I said, and platypus. We monitor for platypus in September. That's another one. We also have water quality monitoring, which is also another way people can get involved. And of course, they're sort of more formalized volunteering opportunities. But if someone's got a great idea or have got skills in graphic design or, I don't know, whatever, it could be putting little videos together. We're also interested in those kind of people as well. But, you know, in terms of caring for creek, if people want to get their hands, I shouldn't say hands dirty, if people want to get down in the earth and create habitat for animals and look after the country, we've got plenty of opportunities there. And also like events during the year. So people might only do a one-off volunteering activity, and that's fine too. But we do have those extended programs for people who are interested.
And is there anywhere that we should look in particular to kind of learn more and get involved in all of this work?
Yeah, sure. So we do have a pretty big website, www.dcmc.org.au. And the website, you can get in contact with us via the website or email us on info@dcmc.org.au if you are interested in volunteering. I would just suggest that if you're interested in volunteering, say the kind of things that you're interested in, because that makes it easier for us to put you onto the right person within the organisation. We also have a newsletter as well, and the newsletter is really good to subscribe to because then you don't miss out on any opportunities. So we always say sign up to the newsletter. Again, if you can't find it online, just email us at info@dcmc and we'll subscribe you for you. And at the moment, we are having a fundraiser, and it's called Many Hands, One Creek. And you can find that on the GiveNow website. So it's Many Hands, One Creek, because we can't do these volunteer programs without money, unfortunately. Everything costs money. So training, tools, and refreshments for the volunteers, all those things are so important. And we do have hundreds of volunteers, and we want to provide like the best opportunities for them that we can. So if you do have a spare $5, $20, whatever you've got, if you can donate to our cause, that would be great. Because we do get funding from local government, Banyul, Darebin, Whittlesea, and Yarra, and also from Latrobe, who are all the lands in our catchment. But we do need to also get money from other sources to do the breadth of the work that we do. We do a lot more than what's funded by that original funding.
You're listening to Out of the Blue on 3CR, and that was the wonderful Therese from Darebin Creek Management Committee. We'll leave those links to DCMC's website, their fundraiser, and the Frog Census in the podcast notes for today's show.
You can find the podcast or any of our previous episodes at 3cr.org.au/radioblue. And you can also follow our Facebook page for updates and more ocean news. Thanks for listening and have a great rest of your weekend. Bye.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.